Call the meeting to order. Please stand for a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we have a guest speaker tonight. I think we'll open the floor for that. Our speaker here. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I am here.
You are she.
I'm Susan Hagan. I brought packets for the board. If I can hand them out to you.
Certainly.
One of the other things that I have today are petitions to sign, one for county state legislators, one for federal legislators, to state that.
You can't hear a word.
I'm talking to the board.
I'm sorry. Oh.
I thought this was that you were doing a presentation.
Do you want me to do it to?
Well, everyone is in. Everyone's interested, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
For digital information, we're running information and letter writing twice a month, the first and third Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 at the library. Everybody's welcome. We have lots of information. We have lots of sample letters to sign, to send to your representatives, to Washington, to the Federal Energy Regulation Group, to say, we don't want this pipeline in Westland County. A lot of the reasons are environmental. It's going to make, go through the Rensselaer Plateau, which has lots of streams, rivers, lakes, things like that. It's going to damage a lot of the environment just with the putting in the pipeline. And through Rensselaer County, this pipeline is going to go next to the power lines. Now, it's already known by Kinder Morgan, who's putting his pipeline in, that the emissions from the power lines degrade the coating of the pipe. So we don't want it to leak. We don't want accidents. We don't want the pipeline. Nobody in New York State, from where it comes in from Pennsylvania and goes down into Massachusetts, gets any benefit from this gas. All of the gas is going out, and supposedly about 95% or more of it is going to be exported to the highest bidder. So we really are not going to be seeing any benefit from this. Yes, they say in the market there's going to be jobs, not on the pipeline. Those people are highly trained, very skilled in putting these pipes together. They're not going to spend the time to train anybody here, the amount of time when they bring them all in from Louisiana and Texas. The surveyors, which are all supposed to be local, have a magnetic sign on the side of their trucks that says they're from Holyoke, and it has a sign on it. It has a name on it. But if you look at the truck, it's a license plate of Louisiana and Texas. You think I invented him?
No, I think he's looking for court.
Yeah. Honest with you.
But I didn't want to interrupt you.
So because it doesn't have any benefit to anybody in New York State, and we bear the brunt of all of this, if it goes through your property or if it just goes through friend's property, and they don't get any benefit, but they still have to pay taxes on the property. Kinder Morgan doesn't pay taxes for the property they get from you. They ask you to just sort of let them have the right of way. You know, if it comes to that they actually do get this pipeline approved through the federal government, and you've said, no, I don't want you on my land, but they're now surveying in the air. And if you see the helicopters go by, they're surveying in the air. Anybody who doesn't write a letter and say no is assumed to have said they're in favor of the pipeline. So the more people that your representatives here and in the county and in the state and in Washington, the more times they hear from you to say, no, we don't want the pipeline, the stronger our voice will be. So I think it would be much easier to provide you with more information and sample letters and things like that at the library. We have signs that we pay about $8 for, and we'd like donations of $10 to cover some of the costs and mailing of letters and printing and all sorts of things. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. Some of these people have already been to the library with me.
Lori?
I just want to add to what Susan's saying, that you can send letters, but you can also go to FERC, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and sign up to be a party to comment on their plan for the pipeline,
right,
whether you oppose it or you are in favor of it. So if you really want to speak directly to FERC, that's the best way to provide a comment.
And if you don't hear from them, you can call up and say, well, I called them, you know, or I sent a letter 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I didn't hear from you. What are you going to do about my concerns? So, and keep saying, you know, it's been a month. I haven't heard from you. What are you going to do about our concerns, my specific concerns? And it's good if you name them, whether it's, you know, the water, pollution in the air, there's going to be methane. These pipes leak no matter how tightly they seal them. They leak. And some of the things are toluene, the methane, but there also are some heavier things that will sink into the water, and it's going to go over our aquifer. Yeah.
Can you speak about the compression station? That's
sure. The compressor station that's down in Malden Bridge.
Well, what, the new one that they...
Well, yeah, just to give you perspective, that's a small compressor station, and it passes the gas through a 20-inch pipe. Okay. This pipeline is going to be 36 inches. And so the compressor that they're going to put in is three times the size of the one in Malden Bridge. People who live near that compressor in Malden Bridge, it lights on 24/7. And when they have to equalize the pressure on either side of the pipeline, they let it out. It's just like when you go by a dump site, like along a thruway, and you can see the methane burning off. So that's how they equalize the pressure. They let it go, and it burns. So the other thing that happens with the compressor is, and this pipeline, and our community, is that they consider, oh, you're rural. We're just going to put a 1-inch thick pipe through this area. And if you're in Albany or a very heavily residential area, my goodness, they're required to put a 3-inch thick pipe. Same pressure going through it. In one instance, they're going to have 3-inch thick pipe. We aren't. So we're going to try and have some more.
If we get that information from this other company, Miss, we can, I think that's a good idea that, you know, we have people sign up for it.
Okay.
All right, can you just hold your question until we get... Thanks, Claudia. All right, so new business. We have the Memorial Day Parade coming up. We have an application for special events.
We submitted all his insurance that has been approved by Tom.
Okay, so entertain a motion to approve the application.
Make a motion.
Second.
Okay, by Randy and Guy. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. We have an application here from the, the Hudson Valley Interfaith Group.
Yeah.
Monitoring is Hudson Valley Berkshire's Interfaith Network. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. They're wishing to use the Village Commons to have a community 4th of July picnic. And I guess all the details are on there. They do not need police service in any way. They want to use the ballpark and play ball and things like that.
You mean the volleyball thing? Court, not the baseball court.
They're going to contact the baseball so they can have a game or something.
All right.
That's aside from that, they want to use the Village Commons that day.
As far as tables, chairs, tents?
They'll contact beautification for that.
Okay.
All right, so everything here is in order?
It was in order. So, I just didn't know whether...
So just to be
allowed that, I don't know.
So Diane Marquette is the pastor for the Methodist Church in the village.
Mm-hmm. Just so so they definitely don't need police because it says in kind of maybe yes and then no.
I'm sorry, my copy. She said maybe at first because they wanted to have a wagon. They're going to do a wagon or something, a traditional 4th of July thing and.
Yeah,
so she had a meeting the other day, and then she called me back and said that there would be no police needed.
Okay.
I can give you a little bit more information.
Yeah, that'd be good, because this is all I have is this piece of paper.
The plan, contingent upon obtaining a hay wagon and a tractor to pull it, is to have a tour of the village. Originally, it was going to be a walking tour, but then they thought they had more people who couldn't walk than could walk. And I'm going to be discussing the historical growth of the village. However, my suggestion to them, and they were very happy, was that this would not take place as the wagon was moving, but there would be specific places to stop. St. Mary's parking lot, the Methodist Church parking lot, adjacent to the Village Square, and on Albany Avenue, either in the, excuse my ignorance, I'm not familiar with the name at the moment of the church building that's down there, off of Route 20, and the wagon would stop. I would stand up and say, now this is this building, and this is that building, and so-and-so lived here, and this was built there, and approximately an hour duration from start to finish, from start of the park to end of the park.
I would think that would be all the more reason to have some kind of police escort or presence, especially if you're going to be crossing, zigzagging back and forth between the streets and the highways. And
it's pretty much a straight line. You go out of the park, Fairgrounds, Chatham, Church Street. Oh, and ski sale, and then back out of the park. So.
Okay.
The only place that I'm really concerned about is the Village Square. If you're going to be in that sort of neutral zone, I assume.
Between the two.
Is there a way that you can maybe direct them not to stop there? You know, right there. I mean, that's just.
It's the heart of the village. I'm sure we can work out some. So we maybe go in the parking lot on Malibu.
Yeah.
So at least we're in sight.
Yeah, so you can see it, but it's not, you're not on the road.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so take a motion to approve the request.
I'll second.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Randy makes the motion and Charlie seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So, let's talk about the village tree. What do you want to do? We have a quote here from Landmark Tree Service to remove the tree to ground level and clean up the debris for what? $525.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is I believe I was talking with Kurt, I think it was you. If we donated the tree to the plaza for their Christmas tree, they come out and take it for nothing. Isn't that what you said? Yeah, that wouldn't cost us anything if we donated the tree for another use. That would be something we'd have to contact them and see if they'd be interested, but somebody donates it every year, so.
All right. Why don't we table this for now and we'll talk about it, figure out where we want to stand on this, what we want to do. See if we can get a little more information. Anybody oppose that?
I'm making more things
happen. Okay, let's do that. Clock Fund Committee. So, do we have a Clock Fund Committee?
No, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
So, the agenda was kind of set up to go from one to the other, but since no decisions are going to be made, we did have a donation made to start a Clock Fund Committee. The clock we're talking about is a municipal clock with multiple faces that presumably would be somewhere in the village that you could see from multiple perspectives, and it would be an old-style Victorian, you know, something that would look nice, again, beautify the community. We had a meeting last year with a representative from one of the companies that puts these clocks together. Randy, I think you were there. Lori was there. Bob, I think you might have been there as well. Talked about the options and the size and kind of the cost, and it came down to the cost of something of this magnitude, if the village were to go in this direction, is something in the realm of $25,000 to $30,000. Obviously not something we can just say, oh, we're just going to buy it this year. With the bicentennial coming up, I think sort of, you know, the stars are aligning, you know, you can envision one of the ceremonies at the bicentennial might be to dedicate such a clock. So if we're thinking about a time frame, that gives you about 4 years to raise money. We received a generous donation from Margaret Van Dusen and Dick French last year to start the clock fund. And the board resolved at the time to accept that donation and added a condition. This is actually a condition of the donation, that should the village not purchase a clock, you have to give the money back to the people who donated. So we need to keep track of how much is given by whom. I believe it may have been at that meeting or at a subsequent meeting that I've committed to donating all of my after-tax salary I make as a trustee to the clock fund. So when you add that up, you're getting pretty close to the about halfway mark. So the other wrinkle is that the village board members can't solicit money for donations for such a thing. It's just not possible. It's just not legal. We wouldn't want to do anything that would get us in trouble, obviously. So what we need to do is establish an independent body that would be in charge of that, keep records of the donations, could actually go out and solicit donations. Now, as Kurt has mentioned, we have a lot of standing sort of we have a shallow volunteer pool and yet a lot of things to do. And so starting up another committee might not be the best idea. However, I would like someone to be, since we now are managing these funds, someone to actually manage them. So,
Well, I already started a spreadsheet with Margaret's money last year as we were instructed for the resolution. So when anyone donated, they were supposed to donate through me, and I was supposed to add them to the spreadsheet with all their address, name, and return money details in case that happened.
So
I do have that already started.
Excellent. And I appreciate that effort. But we still need to be able to solicit money, aside from just saying, you know, get the word out. So we need someone who is going to do that if we are going to pursue this, or we're going to have the same amount of money as we have right now. No one's going to know, and no one's going to be aware of if we're planning to do this, you know, what the plan is. So
I know when we met with the gentleman, they had fundraising criteria, like going to the banks or having...
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so there's fundraising avenues that the company suggests to us, so I mean, it's there for us. I mean, we
right.
have like little plaques you could put on the memory yep. plaques or stones around
right.
it. So that's what he said a lot of the municipalities did for the
right.
fundraising part. But like you said, we can't.
I can, right.
Yeah, we can't as a board to do it, but like you said, maybe if the Bicentennial Committee gets formed, maybe the clerk.
So I think Kurt has, you know, sort of with his left hand suggested that the Bicentennial Committee might be able to take on that responsibility. But I certainly don't want to speak for you, Kurt. I have someone who's volunteered to be the fundraising person, if that would help, and it would have a member of your committee, someone would join. So, and it's not you. So I don't know if the board wants to take. I mean, it's something that we've already resolved. If we collect this money and we don't buy a clock, we're giving it back to the people who gave it to us. So this really just names a person who would now be able to go out and solicit money for this clock. And the person was here, and now she's gone.
She had to
leave. It was Lori Clark. And the reason why, one of the things that, the reason why she's good is because, as we all know, she's very detail-oriented, sometimes too detail-oriented. But she also knows about the clock already, so she's got a good grasp on sort of the selling points and the fundraising. And she's willing to do it. It's, you know, getting someone who's willing to fundraise is sort of half, three-quarters of the battle. So I just throw that out to the board for discussion.
Sounds good.
I believe it was a four-sided clock, and we had talked to the gentleman about putting our logo in their face, and there was other options to the clock where I think one of the residents of the village said there used to be music playing somewhere, Christmas music, and part of this clock had the capability of having music being played during holidays. So, I mean, the clock's a nice idea. It was going to be four-sided, so any time where you came into the village, you could see the conifer. It wasn't going to be like the one in Galatia where you just have two sides. So it was, I think we saw pictures, right?
I mean, one of the issues is, as Bob has said, we haven't decided whether we're going to do this or where you could even put one. You know, I'm dancing around the issue, but, you know, we had thought one potential location would be where the tree is now. But, you know, I'm not going to prejudge that discussion. So. Anyway, if we do go this way, I would definitely suggest that who's ever in charge of this money, or in charge of the fundraising, have a monthly report that they give to us so that we know, you know, what they're doing. I think it's going to take us 4 years. If not, you know, I think we might have an issue with the fundraising in general. But, you know, to know along the way how close we're coming, we really want to know that and stay on top of that. Because this isn't something we can just say, oh, yeah, we'll just make up the last $10,000.
What was the cost total?
Between $25,000 and $30,000.
Which is to be raised by donations.
Yeah, yeah, we're not gonna. Yeah, I, well, I don't.
I would suggest depending on the options you want to
yeah.
for the
yeah. But I think, you know, making it, having it be something that the community came out to support, you know, and that and some of this fundraising effort is going to be getting the word out what this clock is and what it could be and how you could get involved in being part of the planning of where it's located or, you know, what it looks like, what the ultimate options are. I think that's really important.
All right. Well, I think that, you know, if we're going to pursue this, we do need to have some committee you know, being responsible for the collection and the accounting of the funds, for sure. But I also think that, you know, especially in light of the discussions we've had here tonight, that there should be, you know, some discussion and, you know, and not to throw a lot on Kirk, but I think, you know, maybe the beautification committee is the place to decide and get it some kind of a discussion as to what should that square look like.
No, I think what I see as a potential issue is you want to have a bicentennial celebration, which is going to cost money. It's not going to happen for free. Now, in 1994, when we had the 175th, we appealed to people for donations, we appealed to local businesses, and then you're going to have basically the same activity for a clock. I see a potential for one, confusion, because people are going to say, oh, I'm happy to give, here's my money, and then they're going to find out about this other thing and say, or I already gave, or I didn't know it was to, or it just perhaps could be a little bit more money than is viable for this community. So I'd like to see a little bit of research put into it to determine how these two committees, are they going to act together? Is the fundraising going to be a consolidated fundraising for everything? And, you know, maybe you break down 75% goes to the clock and 25% goes to whatever else is decided, which needs input to see what we're going to do. Firemen interested in a parade? I don't know. Some sort of a dinner or an event like that? I don't know. One of those metal signs that look like the state sign somewhere that say NASA 200 years old, blah, 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 somewhere? I don't know. We need to kind of get a little bit more of a hold of an idea of the size of this elephant we're talking about. Because no matter how we do it, money is going to have to be raised. And if we're talking about this amount of money, it's going to be a major undertaking unless somebody has very deep pockets. So that's my personal perspective. I have nothing against clocks. I like clocks. Obviously the Village Square is probably the most logical place to put it, certainly the most visible piece of property that the village owns. But I think we just need to consider what we really want and what would speak to the future of the village. What would give a credit to 200 years of surviving?
Okay.
So I think we should make everybody in this room part of the committee, and then we can get to work.
Every month we can have a meeting every month.
There we go.
Because it's a community project. It's not something for 5 or 10 people. It's what everybody wants, and everybody wants to give money for it, and they all have to look at it.
Yep.
So should we really, what do you really want there? What was there 200 years ago?
No clock.
No clock. No clock. That honored the military.
They had the tower, right?
From the county. No, but that was there years ago. That was beautiful.
And the gazebo was there before that.
Huh?
The gazebo was a wooden gazebo.
So I think, I think we need to be able to discuss and determine what we want, what the residents, the residents need to have input into what's going to happen in that square. They just need to have it. If we could say that, if you could hold some discussion on that, that gives people a place to come and discuss. It's hard to hold a discussion like that at this board meeting. I mean, it could take up, an inordinate amount of time and we could set aside a different night to talk specifically about something like that might work better, I just think. And then we could decide and whatever. And if they decide to go to the clock, we still have the hurdle of raising the money to pay for it that needs to be done. And then, we have decisions to make as to how we want to celebrate our 200th anniversary. So I think the place to start with this, rather than, if Lori is volunteering to handle the accounting for the fundraising for the clock, then, and money's already started coming in, I would say that would be a good start for her to, you know, to do that. But that she should coordinate with, you know, become part of this group trying to figure out about the thing. So I'm not going to ask for her appointment tonight. We can do that next month. I don't think that's a critical issue, but I just want to make sure that, you know, Lori's still on board after this discussion that she missed. I don't want to throw her out there without her having an idea of that. So I think we'll just we'll accept that, you know, we're gonna work on this as part of the bicentennial committee thing, and hopefully you all that are interested in this will join Kurt in. And working on this committee and getting planning going here. We would really, really appreciate some additional help. And then we'll bring this up again next month and see where we are and, you know, what the next step we can do to help make things move along. So, sound good to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so municipal compost.
So last year, this was another initiative we started, but we kind of let it go a little bit. But when it was Tony and Jay, they started piling the bags of leaves that they pick up at this time of year and in the fall back behind the village hall rather than over on the Bristol property. And if you look back there now, it's like a mountain of stuff. So the idea when we started piling this stuff up there was to actually create some access to residents to compost material for their own gardens and properties. Since they're contributing the leaves, they might as well be able to get something back for it. This is obviously a benefit to residents, and we had one, Tom Snow, who went to school apparently to study composting. Which is interesting, I imagine you get a degree in composting, but he did. He's volunteered to sort of give us advice on how to do this. I mean, it's a compost pile. Once you know how to do it, you kind of know how to do it. But he's volunteered to oversee such a project. The most important part, though, is to get the balance of materials, the nitrogen and the carbon, together properly. So what he suggested our next step would be is to have some horse manure brought in. He's got contacts with some of the local farms where we could get something for free. The other part of this is that it would put a little bit of onus on Jay and Jamie now to turn that thing, to turn that pile once in a while with the backhoe. I talked to Jay. He said he doesn't have a problem doing it, but I just want to, you know, obviously, he's not going to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, Tom suggested that if we started now, we could probably get that pile working, and by next year we could have compost that people could actually come and enjoy and use. So if we want to do that, if the board has any questions. One of the things that happened this past weekend, unfortunately, is that someone came and in two trucks, a white truck and a maroon truck, and dropped off a ton of debris back there, trees and things like that. So, you know, that kind of, we're going to have to think about how to manage that, because if people are going to be kind of wrecking, you know, mixing up things that shouldn't be in there, you know, really dense materials don't compost well, like big tree limbs and tree trunks, they take longer to break down. So we're going to have to think about how to mark that area off, but at the same time allow people to get to it. You know, we want people to use it. That's the whole purpose of doing it. So we have some planning on that part, but we can at least, you know, it's not going to be working until sometime next year. So we don't have to, you know, we have a year to think about that.
My first thought would be, is there going to be any issue with smell or odors? Because, I mean, you know, it is right behind the people on Fairview.
That's true.
I'm not familiar with composting, so I don't know how it works. So,
one of the things I did talk to Tom about, considering how dry it is now, whether there was sort of any potential for a fire because it gets really hot in a compost pile. That's sort of that's breaking down the materials. But he said there wasn't. And so, but I will ask him about that.
Yeah. We should finally talk to him about that, because you know, if you're putting it right there and it starts working, too late to move it.
Yes, you're right. So, yeah, I will certainly get back to him on that.
Okay.
But in any case, just start thinking about and other things that we haven't thought about yet. We have time to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. We'll leave that on the list. We'll continue to update.
Where is that pile?
It's right behind the salt shed. Where the recycle bins used to be.
Okay.
Right back there.
Okay, and next item up is the Kinder pipeline, NED pipeline. So we've had a nice informational meeting here that Susan has brought to us. Anyone have any discussions or... any discussion on this? Do we want to entertain a resolution?
I'd like to, as a board, entertain a resolution to oppose the pipeline.
Okay.
And she supplied us with something?
Right? She did supply us one, and it's not ready for us to adopt tonight, because right. This is actually somebody else's, but we could pass this off to Dave, and he could reword it for us to make it ours, and we could do it next month. I mean, I don't think that's that critical.
Two. One was Skodak's, and one was Stevenstown's.
Right. But yeah,
I did Skodak, so I got
to... Do we need a resolution for Dave to rework it?
No. What?
Or,
no.
Okay.
Can I see what...
I would like that to happen, sorry. Maybe.
So we should... anybody else have any discussion on that, or everybody on board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we'll ask Dave to draft a resolution for the board to adopt opposing the Kinder, whatever it is, pipeline, whoever the Kinder Morgan pipeline.
And I think you know how to get in touch with me if you need any more information or questions. Dave?
I'm sorry. Yes, I have a copy.
I just want to say that I talked to several residents this past weekend about this. And at least two of them said, if that pipeline goes in, they're leaving.
People have already been leaving.
So, you know, this is something that is very important. We need to stop this. So I think as a board, I would really like to see us do this.
Okay. I think we're all there. So, all right. So now we will open up for public comment, Claudia.
Oh, my question.
It's your turn. Oh, did we answer it?
No, I get with you, Charlie. I just have a couple of companies for shredding that our school districts.
What's that?
Deals with. We have shredding companies for school
districts. Oh, okay. All right.
You know, and it's not $700.
Okay.
You know, but, a reminder of the quiet hours. I tried to look it up on the website, Climate Revolution, that we set up for noise ordinance,
yeah. It's
the first part of the web page, if you go down to that code box,
yeah.
Click on that, yep. And then you have to put the noise one up in the search bar, and it should come up.
Noise.
I don't know.
You got the codes up there?
And your noise ordinance.
Yeah, I think it's 7 in the morning, yeah.
Well, there's some issues. Especially because I go to work early, and there's issues with Hanson firing up and running the trucks even when I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I thought that was kind of odd.
It's early.
And that's during the week, and I know on weekends is maybe just a little later, but it's not. It's way before the hours that are supposed to they're supposed to operate.
Well, I think maybe we should. Do you have the hours there?
I do. It's for most things it's 6 a.m., but there are certain things that it's 7 a.m. Excavation, demolition, things like that. And there's the one for six.
I thought the earlier one was because of the garbage trucks, or the trash trucks were coming in early for the commercial businesses.
6 a.m.
If the 7 a.m. one is building construction, it's specific. So it's currently the ordinance reads the creation of loud or excessive noise in connection with loading or unloading of any vehicle, opening of boxes, destruction of bales, boxes, crates, containers, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. So they can start at 6 a.m. is the way the law is currently written.
I thought within the law that we passed at one time, weekends,
yeah,
were weekends were at a later time.
Seven a.m. on Saturdays.
Yes, Saturday and Sunday morning.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday mornings is seven. So
are they not? Are they not following those?
I've had people come to me and ask me if I've heard them. And you know, the minute you open your windows.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could send them a letter. I'll draft a letter for you, and we'll send them a letter reminding them that Monday through Friday they can't start loading trucks or handling pipe before 6 a.m. because that's what the law says. And on Saturday and Sundays before 7. I mean, that's.
I mean, a lot of people walk by and when we're out, mm-hmm, in the apartment, and they were asking us, you know, if these hours apartment, mm-hmm, we've been here, and you know.
Well, that's what the law is, and we can send them a letter reminding them of what the law is, and if there's folks that can document to us or are willing to say, because I'm certainly not over there, but. You know, then, you know, we'll act on it if someone will report it. So, but, you know, just to kind of get things started, we can draft a letter to Hanson and just, you know, say, just to remind you, we're getting complaints. This is what the law is. Please adhere to the law. Yes, Wayne?
Wouldn't that come under the noise volume of it, or what?
Well, it does, but when they ring those pipes, it's well above. Yeah, it does. 40 decibels, I think it's.
Do they have a right to defend that if it's?
Or 40 feet.
40 feet from the source.
You have to be specific.
Well, the law is specific.
I know, but how loud? That's what you're going to say.
It's actually just loud or excessive. We didn't put a decibel because we don't have a way to measure.
They're going
to
bring that back.
Well. I mean, let's just see if we can handle it. That's all. We'll give it a shot. Hopefully, it won't come to that.
The issue is that the days are getting longer. So the sun usually is coming up around 5:30, and I know those people over there, they want to get on the road as soon as possible, you know, and maximize the amount of light that they got. And as the year goes on, I mean, there's probably 12 or 13 hours worth of daylight. So
it's only getting earlier.
I think it's important to let him know now, or whoever is in charge over there, and then see what happens.
We will get a letter out next week to them so that they're notified anyway. Yes, Wayne.
I have another question about did. You and Randy resolved the thing about the flaggers or the fire police?
Yes.
Backup?
Yeah, we have the shared services agreement. We're all set with it. We're gonna do that under resolutions. We're gonna do it tonight.
I wasn't here. So
yep. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
I was just gonna ask Dave. That list, Dave, that you did of abandoned or boarded up houses. Do you remember what they said about speedy sales? Didn't the past couple of years we talk about that someone had bought it?
Yeah, I'm not sure who owns that now, but it's on my list as far as tracking it down. And this month I'm going to gather all the information who owns it send out the letters as far as it goes. Yeah.
It is owned by a current person. Someone did purchase it at auction 2 years ago, but they haven't done anything with it.
Previous, that they were going to work on it, but then was it condemned or whatever?
Yeah, that's this month. I'm going to track down and see where we're at as far as what stage we are with all those buildings. So next month I'll be able to report on it as far as where we're at. So, but any information you have, Miss, on that, you know, hand it over if you have it. So.
Okay. Yes, Maxine.
I know it's been a long but very productive meeting. I do want to echo my sister's complaint last month regarding the dog leash law. And I haven't done a study of local communities, but I have lived as a dog owner all my life, and many municipalities have a leash law which requires the dog to be under the owner's control at all times. If we have a leash law in its current state, it protects no one, certainly not the innocent animal who can run at large and run across the street and get killed, certainly not a child who's at large and could get bitten, certainly not another person who's at large who can get bitten, certainly it doesn't protect the owner from the damage, and it also doesn't protect the landowner on whose property this dog owner might be, as in the case, a rental property. So I think the law should be tightened up, rewritten, to include that if the dog is let out, then that dog should at least be on a leash or in a confined area, and that can mean a fenced-in area. And we had to build a fence when I had a large dog. And yes, I had a small dog who used to get out. I had to be very, very vigilant. But a small dog, people are not so afraid of a small dog. A large dog coming at you, certainly a breed that has a lockjaw bite, can do a lot of damage. And I love all animals. But I tell you honestly, I would not want to have a dog anymore if I cannot walk the street safely. And I love to go walking in the evening, on nice evenings. But I would feel that my safety were in jeopardy if I think a dog could be run out on private property. Private property, a dog owner should still be responsible. It's outrageous to have a useless law on the books, protecting no one. Certainly not the poor animal who's an innocent animal and a victim for the owner's irresponsibility. Thank you.
I'm just looking to see what the law actually says. So, I mean, I don't...
Okay.
As long as the dog is on that property right now and doesn't leave the property, it's legal.
Yeah, that does nothing. That's
what the law is, though,
right now.
A worthwhile law. Offers no one protection.
Does it say it has to be in the owner's control?
And actually, it puts the village at risk, too.
All right, we'll review the law. I mean, we're, you know, it's...
I didn't want to forget and let it go a season. Thanks.
We'll do that.
I just looked up Petey Sales. That's the guy that was a scratcher from New York.
Yeah, his name is Larry Black.
Huh?
His name is Larry Plack. Yeah. I don't think he's ever going to do
anything. Phone number?
No, I'm just looking at his tax bill.
How much was it?
Probably going to go up to foreclosure again, but that could take
it's
years.
Mm.
Yeah. 3 years. That's 3 years.
Anyone else have anything? Okay, resolution. So we have a resolution to adjust Robert Balfort 2015 water bill from $142.80, which was for three people, down to two people at $112.20.
Well, I built him for three, and there's only a household of two.
Household of two.
And you want a resolution to make the resolution to do that?
Yeah, we'll need a motion for that.
Did he challenge that dollar amount?
They came and told me that they were a family of three, and I was supposed to change it, and
Family of two?
He's a family of two, he said.
The new, Robert, he's the new owner of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there was a third person there.
Right, when it was the girl and her husband and somebody else, but then he bought it. It changed family ownership, but
okay.
They just came and told me that I was supposed to build it for two,
okay.
Not three.
All
you
right.
Think that there's really three there? I mean,
it lives right next door to me.
Well, how many is there?
I mean, I can only go by what they tell me.
Yeah, there's a third person that comes and goes. Okay? That's all I can say.
Well, that's up to you guys.
You know, maybe it is. Maybe you need to contact them and, you know, and have them verify it.
Maybe we can have Kevin verify.
Kevin can't go in unless he's invited in, so that's
right.
A technicality. Yeah, it's hard being on the honor system.
You know what? Maybe
did the guy say only two people live there?
Yeah.
Is that only two people?
Okay.
Only two people live there. So I'm good with that. So, did he ask prior to this bill?
Yes.
So then we're going to refund him.
Well, he didn't pay it. He has the check here.
Okay.
And he wants to pay the amount for two people.
Okay.
Not three. He's going to pay the $162.20.
Resolution adjusted bill.
Randy.
$112.20 for two people.
Second.
Yes, second.
Charlie. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion's carried. Next one is Adjust Lake Avenue.
That's Richard Sargent. He owns the cider mill property. Apparently, there was a cider mill there. He had it demoed. It was listed as a single-family property. He didn't receive a building permit, so the previous assessor did not put the change in because they're based on building permits. He had it demoed, and then now he wants to not pay water and garbage because it was a vacant piece of property for the last year and a half.
I think we should table this until the building inspector goes over and inspects the property to make sure the building was demolished properly since he did not get a permit.
Okay.
And then if the building inspector comes back with a positive report, we can adjust it going forward.
I've been to the property. It has been demolished as far as being properly.
Is it cleaned up?
No, it is not cleaned up. It still needs debris, still needs to be removed. So there are some issues there as far as.
All right. Well, then we should get Kevin over there, and he should be cited.
It's on
the
list.
Yeah. Okay, good enough. So we're going to set this one aside till next month until we get a report from Kevin.
Okay.
All right.
The bill numbers I forgot to add. We need to approve the bill.
Okay. So next item up is the local law number one. Okay, we've had the public hearing. Any other discussion on that? Okay, we'll entertain a motion to approve local law number, resolution to approve local law number one.
I'll make a motion to adopt local law number one.
Second.
Second by Randy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, local law number one is now approved, effective immediately. Oh, I ain't done yet. We have shared services resolution with the fire department. You've all reviewed that. It's been signed off by the chair of the Board of Commissioners and the fire chief. So
I make a motion to accept the shared services agreement with the fire department.
Second.
Okay, motion by Randy, seconded by Guy. All those in favor of the shared services agreement?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. That's okay. Motion for executive session.
Oh, about the parade. So you have a motion then?
Mary did the parade.
Afterwards?
We did the parade.
Oh, okay.
You want the so the parade was motioned by Randy, seconded by Guy, and the use of the gazebo for the 4th of July picnic was motioned by Randy and seconded by Charlie.
All right, thank you.
Make a motion to go in executive session
to talk about
pending litigation.
Second.
Yep, second. Motion by Randy, seconded by Guy to go into executive session for pending litigation. All those in favor?
Aye.
I make a motion we come out of executive session.
Second.
Okay, motion by Randy, seconded by Guy, out of executive session.
Got time?
At 9:36.
9:36. Okay, so resolution audit bills number 411 to 445 in the amount of $21,862.54 in the A fund and $3,667.28 in the water fund.
Make a resolution to pay the bills.
Randy, resolution to pay the bills.
Second.
Seconded by Charlie.
Make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor of the motion to pay the bills?
Aye.
Okay, motion's carried. Motion by Randy to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Guy.